my honor to introduce our speaker today. We've been looking for a youth pastor after you've heard Pastor Ian left to go as a missionary to the UK for about 2 years now. And we are excited to have a youth pastor candidate to be with us, Paul Hahn. And we've joked over the past weekend, he's been here on and off through Friday, that it's kind of like we're dating now. And we're trying to decide if, you know, we're compatible. If we kind of, you know, we're going to be good for each other and be able to have a longer lasting relationship serving Christ together. So continue in prayer about this process as a church and also for Paul, Pastor Paul, as he comes and speaks to us and as you meet him afterwards and talk to him. So get a chance after the service as well. Come over and say hi, introduce yourself if you haven't already. So without further ado, Princeton Seminary to be graduate this May, Pastor Paul Hahn, if you could come share God's word with us. Let's give him a hand.
Mic check? Okay. Hey, everyone. It's great to be here. It's been a really enjoyable past few days here at CCCS. And I'm really honored to share the Word of God with all of you here at Cornerstone. And I met, you know, a lot of people already throughout the weekend. But yeah, feel free to come talk to me afterwards, whatever questions you might have, or if you just want to chat, I'm totally up for that. And sorry, I can't touch this stand too much. All right. So, again, it's great to be here for the glory of God, for the glory of Jesus, to just share this time together. And before I start, let me just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you here in worship so that we can have a glimpse of your glory. And Lord, we come here every week because we dedicate this one day to worship you, this Sabbath day, to give glory to you. And Lord God, as we share a time of reading your word and studying your word, I just pray for everyone here that you may continue to work in their hearts, continue to bless them. May your grace shine upon them, Lord. And Lord, ultimately, at this moment, be with me. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Sorry, might be feedback a little bit. So Pastor Jeff told me that y'all have this theme this year called Take the Next Step. And I thought it was a really cool theme. I think it's really applicable to all people of all, you know, wherever you are in your faith, whether you're new or whether you're, you know, you've been a Christian your whole life. I feel we all have room to grow. We all have room to take that next step, to really be closer to God, to give glory to God even more, and to also to love others and to show this love that God has given us to our neighbors. So for me personally, I feel the period of growth where I've been able to really grow the most is when I was able to trust in God and trust in his plan for me. So today I want to talk about this trust. And obviously another word for it is called faith. And that's the, you know, the word Paul uses a lot, especially in Romans, this word faith. And we see it all throughout Scripture, this word have faith, be faithful, stay firm in faith. And so when we say we have faith in Christ, we're actually saying we have trust in Christ, and that we're trusting in Christ with everything in our lives. And I don't care who you are, if you're a student, your schooling, your work, your family, your friends, you're trusting everything you have to God. And you're trusting that God will take care of it all in all different aspects of our lives. So to get started, I feel we have to define together what it means to have true or genuine faith. And I know some of us might think faith in Christ is a decision. It's like a moment of clarity or of saying, yes, I will accept the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And to some degree, that's correct. You know, we have to kind of make a decision, a kind of a point where we say, okay, I'll give this a try. And that's true. But it is something much, much deeper than that. To say that we are having faith is not just a decision, but it's saying that we are going to truly trust everything in our lives to Christ. Because we finally know what it means to experience this love and this glory of God in our lives. So faith is not just a single moment. It is something that radically changes you. It changes the trajectory of your life. It changes your perspective. The way you thought before, it completely changes after you have faith. And so faith is something so much deeper than a one-time decision. It's much deeper than saying, okay, I'll just pray the salvation prayer. I accept the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior, blah, blah, blah. You know how it goes. It's something much, much deeper than that. Because just because you pray a simple prayer doesn't mean you're necessarily saved. Doesn't mean you truly have faith. You know, you could have been coerced into doing it. Like, oh, if you, you know, say this prayer, we'll give you lunch or something. I don't know. I feel like I was kind of baited when I was a kid to do that, when I was in Sunday school. But we all know now that's not the case. It is a radical, radical change that happens in our lives. And I believe the first thing that happens when you come to genuine faith is that we become free. It brings about freedom. And obviously I'm talking about freedom from sin. That's what Paul talks about all the time. That we're free from the bondage of sin. So we're not chained by it anymore. We're not bound by it anymore. So as a result, because we're free, we can now act according to the will of God. And it is only through faith we can be free. And only through faith we can begin this process of sanctification. We need to know that we are freed from our sins and we're not enslaved by them any longer. And it opens our minds and hearts to so many more opportunities and possibilities. And a good example, I think, of this is when you're 18 years old, you know, you're about to graduate high school, and, you know, most of us, we decide to go to college, right? So that first moment when you go into your dorm room and your parents leave, you just feel ultimate freedom, right? You just feel like, oh, a burden has left you, and you're like, oh my goodness. And honestly, your eyes are open to so many more possibilities. Like, you can do whatever you want. You could go to bed whenever you want. You could wake up whenever you want. You could go to school if you want. You could eat whatever you want. If you want, you don't have to eat a single vegetable for the rest of your life. Just eat a burger and fries every single meal if you want. It's like opening your eyes to so many new possibilities. And you feel like you're freed from this bondage of your parents or your home. But obviously, this example is flawed because, you know, the possibilities are not always good. There are a lot of bad possibilities when we go out on our own, when we lose that shelter of our home. But when we're free from our sin, only good things can come about when we're free from sin. There are only good possibilities that can come. We can now finally act according to the will of God. Before them, we couldn't do anything. We were enslaved to sin, but because of faith, we're now free. And now we can finally do God's will. And we can do good things. But by God, and only by God's grace and love, we have been free to do good and to be righteous. I want to read from Romans 6, 17 to 18, just another passage from the same book we read. And it says this: "But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." So the next step that happens after we're free from our sin is that we become slaves of righteousness. And we receive this righteousness, as we have read in Romans 8, we can see that it comes by the grace of God, that it has been given to us as an undeserved gift of righteousness. So now we can finally be made right before God. We're finally justified before God. And this righteousness, this justification is for all of us, for Jews, for Gentiles. And none of us are no longer judged for our sins. And we're no longer judged by the law. So then Paul asks, what becomes our boasting? And he says, not in anything that we do. It's nothing that we do that we can boast about. We as sinners are flawed. And Paul clearly says we're all sinners. And that means we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same sinking boat. But it is by grace that we can finally have righteousness. And that grace and righteousness comes from God alone. And it is nothing that we can do. We were all sinners. We all suffered this fate. We were all condemned by the law. But now we are made righteous. And we are completely, completely free. And we have received this by grace through faith. And this is really important because I think we all have this tendency to kind of try and try and try and work and work and work, especially even in terms of our faith, you know, our walk with God. We just try to do it all on our own. We're like, okay, I'm gonna read the Bible more. Oh, I'm gonna pray more. Oh, I'm gonna go to church more. We try to make it a self, you know, willing kind of thing. But this shows us that no, our faith, this grace, is only by God. Only God can help us. And we can't muster up this energy and this willpower to overcome sin. This shows us that only God can help us through it. So no matter what you're trying to do, whether you're trying to quit smoking, quit drinking, if you're trying to overcome some major sin in your life, it says here, as long as we have faith, we have been made righteous. We have been forgiven. Our sins have been pardoned. And again, it was by no work of our own. We did not earn our salvation. It was simply by the grace of God. And now we have been justified. And so, in the passage that we read for today, Paul is obviously addressing doubters who are basically asking this. So since you believe that you have received grace by faith in Christ, then does that entitle you to ignore the law and to do whatever you want? And Paul says this, by no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. And I think Paul is kind of like amped up here because Paul gets really amped sometimes in his letters. And he's saying, by no means, we do not ignore the law, we uphold it. We uphold the law. And I've come to realize that true faith is understanding that we have received this amazing gift of grace that has been given to us for our freedom, our righteousness. And when we come to know it in our heart of hearts and we trust in Jesus with everything in our lives, we then now have that freedom to not be just free from sins, but now we can freely act in love. Before faith, we couldn't act in love because, again, we were bound by our sins. And I know, again, we've all been there. We try. We try to change and we try to be better people. And it's hard. It usually doesn't work out. We always fall short of the glory of God. But when we completely trust in God and continue to faithfully ask Him for help and guidance, that is when God begins this process of changing our hearts. and allowing us to grow and take that next step in our walk with God. Without this true, genuine faith, I believe it's impossible for us to grow. So without a full trust in Christ and the work that He's done for us on the cross, we have no hope. Because at the end of the day, it's all by God's grace. So then, you know, you might ask, okay, so where does this faith come from? Right? How do we receive this faith? And I truly believe at the end of the day that our faith only comes again by the grace of God. You know, personally, if I were truly deciding for myself to be a Christian or not, and I kind of made a rational decision, I would never choose Christianity. It is horrible. The people, the most faithful Christians, their lives from a secular perspective are terrible, terrible lives. And all we have to do is look at the Apostle Paul. And if we know anything about him, he was persecuted. He was, and I don't even want to imagine what he went through when he was being persecuted. And we pretty much know he wasn't rich. He was a nomad. He just went from place to place to place, kind of just living according to his means. He was a tent maker, so you could imagine he probably didn't make a lot of money doing that also. And to top it all off, at the end, towards the end of his life, he was imprisoned. And most historians believe he was executed. And if we know anything about Paul, this is the most righteous man we will ever meet, probably the closest thing to Jesus we'll ever meet. And his life from, you know, the secular perspective is by no means good. If I were to truly choose Christianity and I saw people like him living their life for this Jesus, I would definitely not choose it. But somehow, by God's grace, he instilled in me this heart and this passion to know him, to believe in him. And that is why I believe faith that I have received could only have come from the grace of God. So today, I know it's Palm Sunday. It's the beginning of our Passion Week, right? And during Passion Week, usually, as Christians, we kind of reflect on the cross and reflect on the whole process that Jesus went through of crucifixion and ultimately resurrection on Easter Sunday. And so as we reflect on that this week, let us remember the sacrifice that Christ has made for all of us, that he was beaten and broken in complete and utter pain, so that his sacrifice would justify our sins and it would allow us to live in righteousness. And so that the lives that we live could be according to his purpose, so that we could fulfill the great commandment that God has called us to do, which is to love God and to love people. I know all of us are in different stages in our walk with Christ. I know some of us might just be new, kind of new to the game, like a rookie. And some of us are seasoned veterans. You know, we've been in the game for a long time. Like some of us, you know, 30, 40, 50 years. Not me, I'm not that old. But we've done this a long time. But no matter where you are, you need to always ask yourself as a constant reminder this question. Do I still enjoy and love God enough to completely trust him with my life? In order for us to stay faithful in our walk and to continue to change and be sanctified, we need to be able to trust the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when you can completely rely on God and completely rely on His work and His will, change will come. You will have a completely new perspective on life. When you can completely trust in Christ and in His power in your life, you have a completely different perspective of your life. You will live your life differently. And no matter where you are in your faith, we always have to remind ourselves that I have to trust in Christ with everything. Because it's something we all forget, even those who have been in the game for 20, 30 years. We forget this basic truth, this basic promise. And a lot of that forgetfulness is doubt. You know, we kind of doubt God's power, especially in moments of trials and in moments where we're struggling, where we feel God's not with us. But through all that, can we still stay faithful and completely trust Christ with everything and lay it all in His hands? And once you do that, your Christian life will change and it will grow. And it's not going to be drastic because, you know, we're all still sinners. We're also going to struggle. You know, it doesn't mean I'm going to read the Bible, you know, an hour every day still. You know, I'm still going to struggle. I'm going to have times where I sin a lot. There are going to be times where I fall short a lot. But God will give you grace upon grace upon grace as long as you continue to trust Him along the way, even through the pains, even through the sufferings, even through your shortcomings. God will be faithful to you. And that is the promise He has made to all of us. And that is the beauty of God's grace. It's not just a grace that we receive when we have faith, but it's a grace that will continue to be with us for the rest of our lives. And it will be given to us through the Spirit. And that's what, you know, Paul says in the passage, that the Spirit of God will always be in all of you, be in your heart, right there with you, through the good, the bad. And if we trust in Him, God will make good for us. So to close my sermon, I just want to read from the benediction from Hebrews 13, verses 20 to 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Could you bow your heads with me?